We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're back. I bet you didn't expect to hear us on the sound waves. Food for thought. Off-season and NFL draft edition. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're enjoying the warmer weather. We haven't talked to you guys since it was super cold outside. And a Super Bowl champion was not crowned. Epic Super Bowl. But now we are in the thick of the off-season. I am the Looch, and I am here with the Chief, Will Priester. What's going on, man? Great to hear you again.
Nothing much. Glad to come on. I know we've been trying to get this done, but allergies, coughing, sniffling, all kind of things prevented us from getting this done, when we wanted to. But I think, man, I always say everything works out for a reason, and we're about to come up on the draft. So, I mean, this is a perfect time to come on and talk about, you know, everything that is NFL and all the things that happen. Or some of the things that happened in the offseason. I don't want to say everything because a lot has happened. But some of the things that happened in the offseason and some of the new additions that we can look forward to. I would say, Looch, in terms of the draft, and I know we'll visit, you know, Super Bowl and trades. But I want to say this. I think this year's draft is actually really good. And not because I think it's a deep draft in terms of just players. I think there are a lot of good players in this draft. And even if you're drafting at the back end of the first round, you're going to end up with a really good addition for your football team. And to me, that's scary, Looch, that should be really scary for the bad teams, because while, you know, the obvious Chicago Bears are going after a quarterback, teams that are back here at 30 are going to get a really good player. Like the Kansas City Chiefs are going to have a really good player to add to their football team at the back of this draft. The Eagles, who I know the Eagles weren't great last season, but my point is teams that were really good last season are going to get really good football players for their team. So the rich get richer in this draft, in my opinion, Luke. You know, sometimes there are these weird drafts where, and look, everybody's going to get a second round gem, a third round gem. Everybody's going to find someone that's like, whoo, found him in the fourth round. This is amazing. And he's going to turn out to be a superstar. But I'm saying the back end of the first round this year is a really good football player for a really good team. The rich get richer.
Please excuse my sinuses and my nasal and my congestion, folks. So I love this time of the year. I love it for sports. You go from March Madness, spring training, baseball starts, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. We just saw the WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark just moving the needle for women's basketball, which is awesome to see. Scottie Scheffler, unbelievable with the Masters. But I'm sick every spring. I'm like, you know what? At some point, I'm penciling in like 2 week sinus infection because I'm getting crushed up here in Pennsylvania. But how great, and of course the NFL draft, the offseason, how great is this time of the year, Chief? Awesome.
Let me say this, and I know it's a football show, but back to the WNBA. Look, man, sneakily, I think the Chicago Sky are going to be an interesting young team. Man, who knew we talked WNBA? But they got two of the best bigs in the draft. They got Cardoso from South Carolina, and they got Angel Reese from LSU. Now, and their coach, Witherspoon, she's going to have them playing incredible defense. They're going to be young, don't get me wrong. But I think they got a tandem of two big women here that the WNBA isn't playing like the NBA, folks. Caitlin Clark is like Steph Curry, but the WNBA is playing more like late 1990s, early 2000s NBA. So, you know, you need some enforcers on the inside, and so I think Chicago Sky are very interesting in the draft for what it's worth. Also in the WNBA, and I know this is an NFL show, we're going to get back there quickly, folks. We don't want to lose your attention with WNBA. I got it. I get it. But the WNBA is a superstar league more so than the NBA because these teams are stacked. The Las Vegas Aces have an all-star team. The New York Liberty have an all-star team. Like, their whole starting five could be the all-star team for their respective conferences. So I want to say that, too. Like, so that's why, you know, there's been a lot of unbalance in the WNBA, and so some of these new players are going to bring some balance to the league, which will help. So, yeah, let me get off that. Back NFL, let's get the show back on the rails.
There are a handful of people that are like, wow, these guys are awesome. And then there's a bunch of people that are like, what is wrong with these guys? Talking about WNBA and an NFL draft show. That's who we are, people. If you have never tuned in before, welcome to the show. You never know what's coming up next. But I'm going to tell you, because let's just talk about this offseason has been so much freaking fun. And there's been so much drama from the head coaching carousel we talked about on our last show that we did a couple months ago. To a lot of speculation and some hot takes that we've had and things like that. Jim Harbaugh is in Los Angeles. Mike Vrabel took a job as an advisor. And the only thing I'm going to say about the coaching carousel is, you know, we talked about it on our last pod, and you know, I did a lot of it. It just the crazy turnover in offensive coordinators. It's an offensive league. It's almost like you can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of thing. I mean, hell, Bill Belichick didn't even end up in Atlanta. Like, it's insane how the young offensive minds are just taking over, and everybody values taking a shot on these offensive coordinators who have almost as much downside as upside to see if they can really make that leap from their previous position as the same risk as these teams are going to be potentially trading up for quarterbacks that we don't even know if they're going to be the real deal. Like, you have to take risks on finding offensive play calling talent in an evolving passing league. And we're going to get into it, but you know, in terms of the offseason, the winners and losers and just complete chaos don't throw me up with a knife to my neck against the wall, Chargers fans, but I'm a little concerned with Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. I understand. I didn't think I would start with winners or losers, but just kind of like a WTF, like blowing it up. I am kind of on the edge of my seat waiting to see the pieces kind of get put back together here and what Harbaugh wants to do with this team. But you want to talk about ripping an entire team down, offensive team, pretty much everything Justin Herbert has known around him since he's gotten in the league is gone. And I understand that, you know, like it has to be done at some point. I wasn't sure which way it was going to be done. We knew there would be cap casualties and some of these veterans that we talked about on the Chargers for years on this show, Chief, about how good this team was on paper, but they can't get it together. And I think some of that blame is for sure Brandon Staley to some kind of extent. And, you know, some of the staff that was there, but you know, I guess I am shocked that Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams will not be returning. And I think, you know, we'll talk about the draft, but the Chargers are in a really, really unique spot in terms of what are they going to do in this draft and what do they value more? And we're going to get to that, but I'm kind of blown away with, you know, all the changes around Justin Herbert. And I really hope his growth isn't stunted with, I'm not here to slander Harbaugh. Like, how many accolades does this guy have? He's accomplished so much as a head coach and in many levels of football. But, you know, is he a fit with a just such an up-and-coming young quarterback? And now he has no talent around him whatsoever either. Like, and it just seems like he wants to come in and smash the ball like Mike Vrabel kind of thing. And I just am kind of shrugging my shoulders right now. And all right, the jury's out. Let's see how you're going to rebuild this thing. So that was one of my biggest takeaways, is total 180 with the Chargers in terms of personnel and philosophy heading into May now.
Well, Luch, I think I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum here with Harbaugh in this regard. If it was just a Brandon Staley problem, I would have been concerned. But it hasn't just been a Staley problem. It's also been an Anthony Lynn problem. It's also been the coach before him. Like, Justin Herbert has had about the same tools around him since he's been there. Mike Williams gets hurt two or three games into the season every year. He comes back, has one big game, and then he's hurt for another two or three games. Keenan Allen did have a pretty good season this year, but he's also been aging. Look, I love Keenan Allen, but he's typically hurt a few games a year or has had situations where he's been hurt. Austin Eckler, while he's been masterful a lot of the backfield, strong guy. His yards per carry are actually there. Like, you know, he's a gadget. He's a above average gadget running back. A lower level Christian McCaffrey, if you will. And this team has not been able to get the secondary receivers, haven't been able to get them there. Darius Guyton and all these other guys, Rashawn Johnson, like, they haven't had real production. And on top of that, Luch, they're not winning football games. So, I mean, if you're going to bring a guy in, you might as well blow it up, because guess what? That's the only way he's going to have a real chance to say, hey, look at what I've done. At the end of the season, if the Chargers make it to the playoffs, Luch, guess what he'll be able to say? This is what I accomplished in my first year that this team couldn't accomplish in 7 or 8 seasons, which is going to the playoffs. I tore this team apart. I built it from the ground up with my way, my philosophy, and we made it to the playoffs. Yes, we did not get to the Super Bowl, but we got into the conversation. Now, ownership, GM, let's work together to continue to build this thing like I want to build it. It may take us 4 years, but here's what I'll tell you, Luke. If they go to the playoffs with a reconstructed roster around Justin Herbert, they can get put out the first round. Nobody will care, because they made it in. Right. The next year, though, they'll have expectations. Luch, I'm assuming it's first year, let's get in. Next year, let's go deeper. By the third year, we want to be AFC champions and possibly pushing for a Super Bowl. I think that's the path. I think they're going to give him the leeway and the leash to get it done, because I think he's going to have some relative success early, which will give him an opportunity to get a little bit more of a leash to try to make this thing work. And that's my only thing with that team. Like, they've had tons of talent, and they can't win. So something had to change.
You make a lot of – I think it wasn't me being like, the Chargers are going to stink. Yeah, they got an old dog head coach. It's more of like, this is a monumental roster flip, and – it's going to go one of two ways, and, you know, depending on how they build it. So, like, it is a little scary. It's a little terrifying. Yeah. But, you know,
Way for Harbaugh, he's safe, I think.
Correct.
Because it's like, he's safe either side. He said, look, I had to tear it apart. We're not going to have the talent this season. Or, hey, I had to tear it apart, and look at what we're able to do with limited talent. Wait till we get some real dogs in here. As an example. Either way, his first season is safe, unless he just doesn't win anything.
Yeah. I think they're looking at like Detroit and they're saying, okay, here's a team who didn't have the luxury of a rookie quarterback deal. They actually, you know, made a pretty decent deal and got Jared Goff. He got paid and they were able to build around him and ascend. So I think that that's kind of like maybe the plan they're looking at. And to your good points is like the formula they had was not working, because as good as Justin Herbert is, and as much as this is a passing league, like him slinging the ball 50 times a game, one dimensionally, is not fooling anybody. Like, you made a great point about Austin Eckler, fantastic talent, but they had no running game. They haven't had a running game since Herbert's been in the league. Like, the offensive line has been pretty much terrible as well. So that puts them in even more of a unique situation in the first round. And, you know, I think everything's pretty much on the table. We'll get there. We'll get there. Give me another big winner or big loser in your eyes in this offseason. So much happening, so much chaos. What's top of mind for you?
I'm going to go with what I think is maybe one of the obvious. This is going to be more of a trade, but I think it's a win for everybody. There was no secret. People could say what they want. There was no secret Stephon Diggs wanted out of Buffalo. Like that, especially as we got down to the end of the season, Luch, and the targets weren't even there. They kind of changed philosophies in terms of their offense. Like, so from that standpoint, I think this was a win for everyone, and we now get C.J. Stroud in Houston with the D'Amico Ryans run team, with an extra weapon at receiver. Here's the deal. Tank Dell was ascending, got hurt. Luch, they're going to be able to. Here's why Stephon Diggs is important for Houston. Who are they going to load up on to stop in the passing game? The answer is no one. If you decide that you want to double Stephon Diggs, and I don't think they will, well, now you got to deal with a healthy Tank Dell, hopefully, and you've got to deal with, oh my God, their top receiver this year,
Nico.
Yeah, you've got to deal with Nico Collins, and they've got a handful of tight ends that they use, right? But they now have a solid three-headed monster at receiver. This isn't a gimmicky wide receiver room. You see, like last year, maybe you thought it was gimmicky a little bit. You didn't know how Tank Dell was going to do. Nico Collins kind of comes out of nowhere. Well, now you've got Nico, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell. And if they decide that they want to start playing like the Rams, for instance, the Rams play like a whole lot of 11 personnel. They love that, right? If they decide this is what they want to do, there's no way you're going to be able to cover all of them. Someone should have an advantageous situation every down. Now, that also doesn't mean that C.J. Stroud is going to drop back and throw the ball 50 times. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, Luch, there are going to be some serious consequences on the back end of these defenses if they don't play straight-up tough coverage on the Houston Texans passing game. I can't stress enough how good this passing game should be, especially in a division that they pretty much won anyway. With this first year there, super interesting to me. I think it worked out for everybody. And now the Buffalo Bills get to move on with life without Diggs, and let's see how that fares out. Gabe Davis is gone. He went down to the Jaguars. So, you know, you're looking at Buffalo. And that's why I said for both sides, you look at Buffalo and you're saying, hey, Josh Allen, they said you're the reason this team continues to win. You're going to have to prove it, because two of your biggest weapons are gone. Now, they'll get some more guys. Don't get me wrong. But you see my point here. So this is a win-win for both sides. Probably a little bit of a locker room clinch for Buffalo. Yeah. And Stephon Diggs gets to have a rejuvenated love, hopefully, for the game. And he's going to a team that's ascending yet again. See, when he went to Buffalo, they were ascending. Now, he's older now. And so hopefully they tell him, Stephon, you're not getting the ball every drive or every time we drop that. Hopefully he goes in and they tell him that up front and he can just go play football and have fun. And if that's the case, this is going to be a match made in heaven for a second-year quarterback getting another stud at wide receiver.
Hey, Titans fan here, and you're absolutely right. And C.J. Stroud, let's see what we got out of the kid, right? You invested in some previous resources and Tank Dell and Nico Collins. And let's be real. I mean, let's take our 2023 hats off and you go back 2 years. You know, you don't know exactly what you have at Nico Collins because you don't have a quarterback to get him the ball. You don't really have a line in front of your quarterback either. And you have nobody on the other side, you know, to really like take pressure off Nico Collins. And you bring in Tank Dell, you know, later draft pick. You're not really sure, right? Both kind of explode onto the scene because they have opportunity in C.J. Stroud. And listen, I love a lot of resources online and Sharp Football Analysis, you know, Warren Sharp, one of the best ever. I'm looking at one of their 2023 quarterback rankings before the season. C.J. Stroud ranked 22nd. So, you know, we just can't ignore that these massive leaps can't happen in with the right talent in the right situations, because they can. And, you know, C.J. Stroud was getting taken in the last round of plenty of best ball drafts over last summer. Like, league winners in real life and in the fantasy streets. We can't sit here and be like, well, it's just not going to happen, right? It won't happen for Bryce Young. It won't happen for Will Levis. It won't happen for, you know, quarterback XYZ that gets drafted here. Houston.
Luch, my bad. I'm sorry. I know I cut you off. Can I mention one more thing about Houston that yeah. I meant to plug in here?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the other thing. Not only do they get Stephon Diggs, they got Joe Mixon in a trade with the Bengals. Luch, this team, like, they should not have, look, and I'm not saying Joe Mixon is elite.
Right.
But what I am saying is he's a really good professional running back.
Yes.
That can catch the ball and can run between the tackles. And in this type of offense, they've almost built a monster underneath everybody's nose and nobody's talking about it.
This is
unbelievable.
We haven't even mentioned, you know, defensive side of the ball. You know, getting Danielle Hunter. You know, their front seven is disgusting. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., second-year player. Danico Autry, like, yeah. That one stings from a Titans perspective. They brought in Al Shear as well. That front seven is going to do enough work where, you know, the secondary will have a little pressure off of their shoulders. So, a scary football team will be an AFC contender barring some craziness. And even if Stephon Diggs is the current version of himself, like, that's all he needs to be for this team.
But Luch, let's go back to one more thing here. And I think this covers any football team. So it's about Houston, but this is more about why Houston's able to do this right now. C.J. Stroud's still on that rookie deal. This is exactly when they have to strike the deals. Like, the time is now. If you don't strike the deals now and you wait until next season, or the extension's coming. And if he's still – and Luke, if he ascends to where we think, they're going to have to pay him Patrick Mahomes money at that time. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes money specifically. I'm saying we know the cap keeps going up. Quarterbacks keep getting paid more. And if he's a top five quarterback, they're going to have to pay him big money. Like, they're going to have to, Luch. There won't be any room for discussion. If he was in the MVP discussion last season, what if he wins it this season? I'm not saying he will or he won't. I'm saying if he ascends to anywhere near a Super Bowl quarterback, the amount of money they're going to have to pay him because of that is going to be astronomical. So they have to make these trades right now. And that's any football team. So I'm just putting that out there. Listen, if your team's struggling and they've got a rookie quarterback and they're not making deals, look out. that it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse, in fact. So just wanted to put that out there for the listeners, man. Building a contender with a rookie quarterback is one of the best things to do in this league while you can. Because once you've got to pay that quarterback, happy hunting, it's going to be a lot more difficult.
See Justin Herbert. I mean, he got that 7-year deal and things didn't work out with the cast around him. And it is what it is. And now you have to hit kind of a full reset, but at least you have that piece in Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You know, and man, there's like five teams I want to touch on. I want to go to another one. I'm sure you're going to piggyback into one of the other ones I want to mention after this one, but this goes hand in hand, the same division. And like, I was a little skeptical of what Tennessee was going to do, but I do really like, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, they're just a bunch of just schmucks online. Just keep going back to the AJ Brown thing a couple years ago. Different general manager, different head coach now. Things were different. And, you know, laughing stock was, oh, DeAndre Hopkins is washed. Well, I tell you what, great signing. He was fantastic last year. Rand Carthon comes in, takes Tajay Spears in the draft. Peter Skoronski in the first round, and Will Levis in the second round when nobody wanted him. And you have to take shots, and it doesn't always work out. But the like you said, the championship windows, the championship run windows are these rookie deal quarterbacks. I mean, look what the Bills were able to have for several seasons. Look what the Eagles have been able to build with Jalen Hurts and everything around them. The Titans are going to try. And last season, when you know Tannehill was up in the air and Derrick Henry was up in the air, what did Rand Carthon do? Didn't really move the needle. DeAndre Hopkins was a splash. Still wasn't a monster deal. A couple of years. But he signed a bunch of one-year deals, including Al Shaair, who went to the Texans. He didn't want to commit to a bunch of long-term contracts. Got to evaluate a little bit of Will Levis. And now they're like kind of going for it. But they're at least – I don't know if this is about making a Super Bowl run or a playoff run, but much like the Texans were last year, if it happens, it happens. You bring in Calvin Ridley. Oh, he got overpaid, so many people are saying. Wait till you see this receiver market. Ja'Marr Chase, eligible for an extension. Justin Jefferson, eligible for an extension. Devontae Smith just got extended and got like $52 million guaranteed. I know Ridley is a little bit older, but the premier positions in the 2024 NFL are wide receiver, offensive line, edge, and the secondary on defense. And those guys are going to get paid no matter what. They're the starting pitchers of the NFL. Like, they're just going to get skewed deals because that's where the market and the league values them the most. So you bring in Calvin Ridley, who I think is a good running mate for DeAndre Hopkins. You bring in Tony Pollard, who I think is going to be really interesting alongside Tajay Spears, and I think it's going to be a little bit less predictable. You bring in Lloyd Cushenberry. Offensive line was the biggest problem for this Titans team. You get the best center on the free agents market. You get you have two weapons outside. Now you bring in Tony Pollard, and what do they do? The jury's still out, but you bring in Legarius Sneed, big splash, guy's still young, top three corner in the NFL. They're seeing what Houston's doing. Wow. We have to counter some of this. You have three top 30 receivers. We're going to go get Legarius Sneed. We're going to go bring in Awuzie from Cincinnati as well. Everyone is, well, why are they doing all this if they don't know about Will Levis? Well, your glass has to be kind of half full. If you have an inkling that Levis is the guy, that rookie deal is still out there. But the thing is, if Will Levis flat out sucks this year, Chief, and they have to go on to the next one next year, whoever it is, you have talent around whoever the quarterback is, so you can actually evaluate the guy. How many times are we stuck scratching our heads about a quarterback? Because it's always like, well, he doesn't have talent around him, or the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, et cetera, sucks. Well, you get rid of prehistoric, you know, a play caller, Mike Vrabel and his buddies and just the philosophies they have, and you bring in Callahan from the Bengals, and you bring in his dad to coach the offensive line, and you have some modern thinking football. There's no more excuses in this team to not evaluate a quarterback. And I, you know, I still hear people trying to figure out if Marcus Mariota was good 10 years ago or not. So I really love what the Titans have done to, you know, try to make a formidable team here. And I think that, you know, they can if Will Levis makes that step. But he's, you know, whether or not he's half as good as CJ Stroud or he's just as bad, you know, Will Levis is kind of ranked outside that top 20 in quarterback rankings just like CJ Stroud was last year. You can say the same thing about Jalen Hurts when he was kind of up and coming in Philadelphia. And yes, there's still a pretty damn good chance that Will Levis falls flat on his face. But I'm kind of buying what I saw from him. And they have a really high draft pick, and hopefully they give him some protection. So AFC South is coming, man. And, like, I mean, we just can't forget that Anthony Richardson is just lurking and going to be healthy. And after all that Jonathan Taylor drama, guess who's still with the Colts too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big one there, just about how sometimes, no matter how bad you think things can get, when the money shows up, everybody's happy. I mean, i.e. Lamar Jackson, right? Everybody thought Lamar was out of there. All of a sudden, the contract shows up, and what happens? Lamar's back to work. This team almost gets to a Super Bowl. Almost. Didn't quite get there. But, a lot of things happen. I'm gonna piggyback it. Let's go to that division real quick. This is something we did talk about pre-show. And this is also something that we referenced way around the Super Bowl, our last show right before the Super Bowl. And, you know, you can decide how you feel or how you want to feel. Maybe you like Russell Wilson, maybe you don't. But the Steelers have basically stolen another winning season, in my opinion, Luch. I don't see them being under 500 yet again. I think they have another winning season, possibly with a chance to go to the playoffs easily if things break their way. Listen. Say what you want. Getting Russell Wilson on a one-year deal for $2 million with the Denver Broncos basically paying his salary, paying that 30-something million, they had to take that deal, Luch. They had to, right? Like that. I think that smart business sense by their organization. You're getting an upgrade at quarterback. Now, you can say what you want about Russ being – he's getting older. He's been in the league longer. But Russ is better than any quarterback that they've had in the past 5 years. And not only that, this is something we did talk about. This is our victory lap. This is our pat on the back for this show. We called this out. We said we thought Justin Fields would go to Pittsburgh. Folks, he's in Pittsburgh right now. Why did we think this? Luch, it just made the most sense. Two quarterbacks that they weren't happy with. We already knew that the Bears wanted to get rid of him, and this was just an ideal situation for him to come into and allow him to use athleticism. Now, here's the thing. I think Justin Fields is the quarterback of the future. Why? Russell Wilson's on a one-year deal. I think this is a chance for him to sit back, learn a little bit, right? And they're saying that Russell Wilson is the guy. I think it's still more of a competition than they want to let on. Football is always competition. So I don't buy this. Russell Wilson has been handed the keys. If Justin Fields shows up and earns the job, I think he's the starter week one. However, I think Wilson will eke it out because of his experience, for what it's worth. I think another big thing, Luch, that happened with this team is this. This has already been a defensive team anyway. I can't stress enough how poaching Patrick Queen from division Baltimore Ravens. What in the world? T.J. Watt didn't go anywhere, Luke.
Nope.
Did he get traded? No. Watch this. Then they sent, oh my goodness, Deontay Johnson packing and got Dante Jackson back in the trade from the Panthers. Now, I'm not the biggest Dante Jackson fan because I feel like he's always relied too much on his speed and less on his technique. But the bottom line is the guy can fly. You're not throwing out routes down the field against Dante Jackson. He can run with the best of them. So, Luke, from just an overall team aspect, I think this team is pretty solid. And guess what? They're going to have a solid draft pick. We talked about it, Luch. This draft in the first round is pretty deep. I like what the Steelers have done. I think getting Russell Wilson on a basically loaner deal for $2 million, every team in the league would have taken that deal if they needed a quarterback. I don't care who. If it was the Jets, they would have taken that deal. If it was the Giants, they would have taken that deal. If it was Tampa Bay, they would have taken that deal. I'm saying any team that needed a quarterback, and you're telling me I can get Russell Wilson for $2 million for this year only? Any team in the league, Luke, that didn't have a starting quarterback would have taken that deal. From San Francisco all the way to Philly to the Chiefs even, if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, what I'm saying. Like, so the Steelers, I think, made out like a fat cat over this particular deal that they got with Russell Wilson. And I think that opened it up for them to be able to do some things with Patrick Queen and still get Justin Field. Like, incredible. Incredible job by the Steelers front office.
Yeah, just quick things on that. Great analysis. And I think if Pittsburgh does want to use Justin Fields and not Russell Wilson, there's no friction with management because of any contract, because he's playing for damn near nothing. So if they want to roll Justin Fields out there, who cares? There's no money stipulation tied to Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting the vibes here. I mean, slightly different situation, but I'm going to name drop Matt Flynn, who got the bag from Seattle when they drafted no one other than Russell Wilson, and who comes straight out of camp and takes Matt Flynn's job after he made like what, $60 million or something like that, after his like flash in the pan with Green Bay. It was Russell Wilson. So I'm not saying that, you know, Fields is going to come out of camp and take Russell Wilson's job, but I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked. I mean, this Pittsburgh team, who's been like the boomer of all NFL teams in terms of not changing things in the middle of the season, they finally ripped the Band-Aid off and got rid of Matt Canada and started spearheading change, ripping the Band-Aid off, you know, when they had to. So this franchise is dying to make the playoffs again. And if Justin Fields is out playing Russell Wilson, anything could happen. I know you're not disagreeing either. It's unlikely, but it's not out of the question. And I'm not going to spend like time on Baltimore, because there's a couple other teams I want to hit on quick before we talk draft, but obviously, yes, Derrick Henry is a big win. There are only a few offenses I think he's a perfect fit for, and he's one of them. And I say that because when Derrick Henry's on the field, it's typically pretty predictable in a sense of, like, he does not run routes well. He doesn't even pass block well. But this Baltimore offense is the most predictable offense in the NFL, and not many teams can stop it anyway. So you want to run an RPO with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Henry's got, like, one, like, two like good, you know, seasons left in them. I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun for Baltimore. So a couple other teams I want to hit on before we talk draft. You want to talk about a big win for everybody, including fantasy football players worldwide. We're talking about the Atlanta Falcons breaking the bank, doing things a little unorthodox, and getting none other than Kirk Cousins. And I don't know,
man, what the exact,
I don't, I'll let you go. 1 second. I don't know what show it was last year. I don't know what the numbers were, but we were like talking about Drake London and talking about Kyle Pitts. And we're like, man, like, they deserve justice. They deserve better. They both ranked like top 15 in the league in uncatchable targets or something like that. Let me tell you what, that ain't going to happen this year. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, unleashed this season. Bijan Robinson, new coaching regime there. I mean, the Falcons.
And guess what? I'm going to let you talk. I want you to keep going.
No, I'm just saying the Falcons.
Cordarrelle Patterson's gone. This is the Bijan is going to own this backfield this year. Cordarrelle Patterson is not there to vulture six carries a game for no reason. And I don't have anything against Cordarrelle Patterson. But come on, man. Arthur Smith was running three or four running backs. Like, cut it out. Give Bijan the backfield. Back to you, Luke. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I'm just saying. Atlanta's not Falcon around. You like that? But and the defense was formidable in a division that kind of sucks, you know, no offense. I mean, they're going to score a lot of points, man. Kudos to Atlanta. There's football life in Atlanta. And much like the Steelers, they didn't have a ton of options to, like, go up and get that quarterback in the top four this year. Not saying they're going to pan out. Kind of just stuck with limited options. What the hell are we going to do at quarterback? And, well, I mean, there you go. And I think it was a fantastic move, and at least for fantasy football players, for sure.
Well, listen, here's the thing. Not only do they have Kirk Cousins, and you talk about Drake London, you talk about Kyle Pitts, and we know they have Bijan, but I think these are sneaky ones, that these are receivers that, while they are fringe, to me, these are fringe receivers that are professionals that are going to play, but should also have better seasons. They went and got Darnell Mooney from Chicago.
Yes.
39 minutes. So that's another interesting guy. Because, you know, Kirk Cousins, man, he's going to spread the ball around anyway. Like, his number one target is going to be it's going to be Drake London. Don't get me wrong. But other guys on the Vikings absolutely had good seasons. Like, Addison had a great season alongside Justin Jefferson, as long when Kirk Cousins was healthy. I think Mooney will have a good season. They got Rondale Moore, gadget guy, from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Like, think about some of the things they're going to be able to do.
Schematically, just motion and movement and patterns.
Yeah, they got Ray McCloud from the 49ers. And I'm not once again, this isn't about them catching 10 passes a game. This is about the two or three plays that they can scheme them into some type of explosion. Like Ray McCloud on some weird end around or Rondale Moore, right? On some weird bubble screen that they can just get creative with those types of little players. So I like what they've done, but Kirk Cousins, man, and Luke, he does it again, gets to play in a dome for home games. Good old Kirky, man. Once again, is gonna have the ball flying around. An easier division now than where he's been. So while the Buccaneers were better last year, the Saints may have gotten a little worse. The Panthers are just seem to be standing pat with mediocrity or below mediocrity. I think if you went into the season right now, you'd think Atlanta had the best chance to win this division.
I agree, but I want to just real quickly, I want to say, you know, Tampa Bay did what they had to do. They brought back Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, but I love the Panthers' hire of Dave Canales. And that is going to, I think, could be a monumental loss to Tampa Bay. I mean, I love what he was scheming up there. I love his situational play calling. And whether or not he's ready for a head coaching gig, we're going to find out. I just think he's a brilliant offensive football mind. And I think him and Bryce Young are going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to give Bryce a chance to really take a leap this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I still don't think we're better than Atlanta today.
Now, probably not.
Come at me in week 10, and maybe we're having a different discussion. But I think if we start the season right now, if you said, hey, who do you think is the best team in the NFC South? Most of the time, Luce, the team with the best quarterback is going to win. And right now, Kirk Cousins is for sure the best quarterback in that division. I want to parlay that into one other thing. This is about a wide receiver. It's going to be very short. Speaking of the best quarterback in the league, I think everybody will agree that the best quarterback in the league is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, man, it just doesn't matter what's going on. He's just the best quarterback in the league. I'll leave it at that. This is underrated as well, but I think it's going to help them even more. What we saw from Kansas City last year was a whole lot of passing inefficiency, and a lot of that was not on Patrick Mahomes. It was on these weird gadgety receivers that were just out there dropping passes. Folks, Hollywood Brown has gone to Kansas City on like a 1 year, $7 or $8 million deal. Let me check. I want to confirm that because I don't want to lie to the people, but I'm sure it's a very team friendly deal. Yeah. Marquise Brown is there on a 1 year, $7 million deal. He's better than pretty much every receiver they had. Pairing him up with Rashee Rice, I think is going to help them. Because he's a professional, right? You get what I'm saying, Luke? Like, if you put the ball on Hollywood Brown, he's not going to be dropping a lot of these passes that we saw early in the season. And I also think they're going to have an option to get a receiver in the draft yet again. Because, once again, this is a deep draft. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they'll have the option to. So I'm very interested in what the Chiefs are going to do. And I know I said that was going to be short. I want to make it short and sweet, Luch. The Chiefs are obviously drafting last at 32. And when you look at the draft, Luch, once again, like we talked about, I just think there's so many good players. I think they're going to have the pick of the litter at the back of this draft, and they're going to end up with someone that in another draft may have gone mid-round, mid-first round, and I think they're going to get him at the back of the draft. Very excited. I want to bring that up, and back to you, my friend.
Well, I'm not going to speculate with off-the-field stuff, but who knows if Rashee Rice is going to be playing football with, like, the legal, you know, matter. Yeah. So they might have to take a wide receiver. And, you know, we've seen Mahomes do more or less, but that makes that Hollywood Brown signing almost a necessity as a little bit of insurance at the position right now with, you know, the question marks surrounding, you know, the circumstances with Rashee Rice. So, but I'm with you. The Chiefs played a different brand of football. I do want to mention there's three other teams, and like, sorry for not getting to your team if you're listening. And
And let me, I'm sorry, Luke. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please. Let me mention this. At the back of the draft, because I won't steal your thunder here, but you know, we were looking at this this draft rankings chart before the show, and I'm sure you'll talk about that with the draft. But I'm just giving you the rankings, and this is coming from NFLDraftBuzz.com, by the way. That's where this is coming from. But at the back of the draft, Luch, and these are wide receivers. I'm even going to start at 28 with Brian Thomas. So Brian Thomas, they have him ranked 28th, right? Brian Thomas was a great wide receiver for LSU, folks. He's not some Rudy Pooh, right? This is a good wide receiver behind Malik Nabers. Also at wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Folks, Adonai Mitchell was a good wide receiver out there with Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
Troy Franklin from Oregon.
The list goes on. And there's like three or four guys.
Lad McConkey. Do you get what I'm saying?
If your team needs wide receiver or offensive line, you are going to be a happy camper in this draft.
Luch, that's what I'm saying. Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Keon Coleman from Florida State. Roman Wilson from Michigan. Luch, what I'm doing right now, I'm naming the back-end wide receivers that this team could end up with. And this is not at 32. This is between first round, second round. But do you get what I'm saying, Luch? There, Xavier Worthy is on the back half of this draft. Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Malachi Corley. I'm not sure how Malachi Corley was one of my favorite wide receivers this season. Played at Western Kentucky. Was a target machine. My point is this, Luke. This draft is loaded. There are so many ways they could go. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to talk about the Chiefs that much. Back to you. I'm going to shut up. Talk too much about the Chiefs. Go right ahead.
No, and I mean, if one of those bad boys land with Mahomes, that fantasy value is going to skyrocket because there might be a path to clear playing time pending, you know, training camp and getting acclimated at the NFL level. Yeah. But you're right. And again, like, we'll get to the draft momentarily. We'll spend, you know, a little bit of time on that. But I want to say, like, just a couple more teams that caught my eye. There's three more. And again, sorry if we didn't get to your team. Maybe there's four more. I thought the Jets had a little bit of an underrated offseason, especially if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, you know, bringing in Tyrone Smith, taking a flyer on Mike Williams. They have a high draft pick to work with. So I think the Jets are kind of like sneaky fun and not a ton of people are talking about them. I'll let you jump in whenever you want. Philly, I think Philly just and Howie Roseman. I can't believe I actually saw someone slandering Howie Roseman online the other day. I don't know, some idiot on Twitter. X, whatever you want to call it. And it's like, you should be so thankful to have Howie Roseman, one of the like handful of GMs that like, if you're a fan and you think you know what the team needs, like a smart fan, like usually the Howie Roseman is addressing the needs and he keeps finding ways. He builds his front seven. A couple of his gambles have really worked out. Some players with questionable characteristic things and whatever coming out of college have really worked out. And he went out and extended Devontae Smith, took care of business there. You know, gave Jordan a lot of the bag after your boy Jason Kelce retired. He's just doing a lot of the right things. And, you know, I don't think it's going to really move the needle, but bringing in Devontae Parker just for fun is kind of cool. The big one is after a weird exit and CJ Gardner-Johnson was crapping on Philly, they bring him back and he apologized and everything's good now. And of course, you know, Saquon Barkley, I mean, sure, I don't know. I thought DeAndre Swift was great in that offense, but Saquon Barkley, Pennsylvania kid, it sure is fun if he's healthy and you can afford him. You bring in Saquon Barkley and very, very quietly Bryce Huff, you know, coming from the Jets. I mean, like this team, like, come on, Jalen Hurts. Come on, offense. Like, let's see an Eagles ceiling here because, again, Howie Roseman is laying out the freaking red carpet for you to go out there and handle business. So, do you have any quick thoughts on Philly?
Yeah, I'm going to add they also traded for Kenny Pickett. They got Kenny Pickett in a trade. So, it sounds like they've got their backup. And Kenny Pickett now, Luch, even after, you know, being a partial starter his first year and kind of a starter next year, it's probably ended up in a better situation for him because he doesn't have to start. And, Luke, sometimes, man, you're on this career path and you got to say, you know what? This is going to be okay. He's going to get paid to be a backup quarterback for probably the next 10 to 15 years if he wants to hang around, you know, and if he can come in and win a couple games for a team, that's all they want from their backup quarterback anyway, Luke. So – I think Kenny Pickett, as random as that is, I think he ended up in a pretty good situation. They you know, and this is underrated as well, but signing Jake Elliott to a 4-year deal, they've got their kicker locked up. Kickers aren't as easy to come by in the league anymore, at least not good kickers, Luke. And Jake Elliott's done a good job for them. So locking him up for 4 years for $24 million, I also think is a big deal because guess what? Teams are waiting to poach good kickers. Why do you think Greg Zuerlein keeps getting paid? He's one of the best kickers in the league. Greg DeLeg and the Jets, I think, locked him up for another $8 million or so, or however much it was. I can't remember. But I, like you talked about, man, he's pushing all the right buttons to ensure this team has every opportunity in the world to try to win football games.
Okay, two more. I promise this won't take long. Give me your quick thoughts on this team. Is Washington going to be a thorn in the side for some teams? And maybe they trade up and get a quarterback. Maybe they go after Jaden Daniels or somebody like that, which it kind of seems that way. But you bring in Austin Eckler. You take a shot on Dante Fowler. You bring in Jeremy Chin from your Carolina Panthers. I mean, you kind of signed some dudes here.
Bobby Wagner.
I mean, you have some guys. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you get a quarterback of the future, and maybe you play spoiler down the stretch. You have a little bit of a team here in Washington.
Well, I don't think. See, here's the thing, Luke. I don't think Washington has to reach here. That's my thing. Like Washington is drafting at 2, so they're going to get a good quarterback no matter who they decide to draft, whether that's the kid from LSU or Drake May or like it doesn't matter. Like they're going to have a good quarterback and they could turn out to be better than Caleb Williams in the end of it. That's not Caleb Williams isn't guaranteed to be the savior for Chicago. I want people to know that. Like he is not guaranteed. Now, do I like him? Absolutely. I think I like him for sure. But I'm saying he's not guaranteed to have a better career than a quarterback that's drafted after him. Just look at Lamar Jackson. I mean, he got drafted at the back end, pretty much last in the draft, and he's had a better career than most of the quarterbacks that were drafted before. Most, not all. So I think they're set up for success. I think their problem is actually going to be Dan Quinn.
I couldn't agree more. And
Dan Quinn to me is no different than Ron Rivera. What are you doing? You could have kept Riverboat Ron if you were going to hire Dan Quinn. What is that?
But I do like the moves that they've done. And this is my last one. Perfect segue into, about maybe like, 20, 25 minutes of NFL draft talk we got here at the end is I freaking love what Ryan Poles has been doing. And we can date this back to the middle of last season. Why the hell are they trading for Montez Sweat and signing him to a mega deal? Well, newsflash. Ryan Poles in this front office just got a head start on the offseason and addressed the premier position on a defense that ended up pretty damn good to end the year in Chicago, like surprisingly good. What do they do in this offseason? Of course, the Justin Fields thing shook out a little bit. You're going to give as much help to evaluate your future quarterback, who is likely Caleb Williams, on a rookie contract as you can. You bring in DeAndre Swift. You bring back Jalen Johnson on the other side of the ball. You get Gerald Everett. You take a stab on Kevin Byard, who wasn't good with Philly, but he was cheap. And of course, Keenan Allen. So, like, you have Keenan Allen, you have DeAndre Swift, you have DJ Moore, you have Cole Kmet, who really started ascending. You have an okay offensive line. I would imagine some more pieces will be coming together there. You have the number one and number nine pick in the draft. So you have so much flexibility, whatever you want to do at number nine, whatever it is. I think this division is crazy. And I think the Bears are fun. And I am super excited to kick off the NFL draft with the Chicago Bears. And it's got to be Caleb Williams, right? So talk to me about the Bears and just, you know, they have some flexibility in this thing. Two, obviously the 1.1 and they have number nine, whether or not they want whoever's on the board at nine, or like you said, maybe someone comes to the table and says, you know what, trade back two or three slots and we'll throw in another third round pick or something. And maybe the Bears have someone on the board that makes sense at 13 instead of nine. And they're just, you know, swimming downstream at full strength there.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears are definitely set up. And the thing about it is, I think when we were talking about Fields, Luch, what does it go back to? Something we talked about earlier. The money. It's always the money unless you're Patrick Mahomes. It's always the money unless you're Joe Montana. It's always the money, right? Unless you're one of the leagues, Peyton Manning. I'm giving you some of our leagues' best quarterbacks in the past, you know, 25 years. My point is this. The reason they got rid of Justin Fields, and I think it made sense, was because they don't have to pay Justin Fields an extension for a lack of success, right? They get to hit the reset button yet again, Luch. When you go out like you talked about and get all these big names and get Keenan Allen and all this stuff, well, you're going to need salary flexibility. And how do you do that? You bring in another rookie quarterback. Now, the thing is, at some point, you got to win, and you got to pay this rookie quarterback an extension, which they will do if Caleb Williams pans out. But I'm with you. I think the Bears have been very successful, and I think they will continue to add other pieces while they can, because in 3 years, they won't be able to continue to add these pieces, Luke. So I love what the Bears have done. I mean, picking up DeAndre Swift was fantastic. They also sneakily got Gerald Everett from the Chargers. Also, they got Keenan out. Like, you know, and I know you mentioned that, but I'm saying, like, they did some interesting things. And now in the draft, like you talked about at nine, if a team decides they want to trade up and they can get an extra third-round pick, second-round pick, I just named a handful of receivers if they wanted to add to the receiver room. Their players are plenty in this draft, Luke. So I like what they've done. I'm with you. I think the Bears are coming as long as their plan with Caleb Williams works out.
I think at nine is such a sweet spot because maybe Romo Dunze is on the board there, and you add to that wealth of riches in the wide receiver core. And like you said, I mean, Keenan Allen's getting up there. He's great when he's on the field. He's due to miss a handful of games at some point. Hold on a second. Just a deep offensive line class as well that – there's, you know, five or six linemen that are going to go in the top 20 or so that, okay, let's put a building block in front of Caleb Williams here and have some protection up front.
Yeah, I must say, it does feel like they're going to go wide receiver in the first round to me. I'm saying that because, you know, they got rid of Mooney, they got rid of some other guys, and you bring in Keenan Allen, you talked about his age. Keenan Allen needs to be a slot receiver only, I think, now. I don't think Keenan Allen needs to be outside trying to run – fly pat, but in the slot, he could abuse teams right now. And we already know they got DJ Moore to play outside. So you talked about it, a guy like Romo Dunze, one of those types, that a big body outside that can also has really good hands and can run a little bit down the field. I could definitely see something like that happening. I think it's probably receiver offensive lineman, though. I don't think they go defense here, for what it's worth, in that ninth pick if they keep it.
You got any reservations about Caleb Williams? You know, you kind of played that devil's advocate there that, like, he's not going to be a Chicago savior. But, I mean, pros and cons about the kid, just from what, you know, what you've seen on tape and, you know, what you've seen him out of, what you see him.
my pros would be nice arm. He's a lot more slippery than he looks, I think, on tape. And he can move the pocket around and still get his throws off.
Yes.
You get like I've seen him move the pocket around and just launch one. Like, and yeah, in college, when you're on the better team, like that's gonna happen. But USC wasn't the best team in college football this year. And I still saw some of that. At the NFL level, he's gonna need that. I would say the cons for me are how fast is he going to process information after teams get about five games on him and defensive coordinators start saying, hey, this is the approach we want to take to neutralize some of his strengths, right? Like, is he going to then resort to using his legs a little bit? Or is he still going to try to, you know, is he going to force throws? Those are my concerns. Does he try to force throws at this level to prove that he's a true quarterback and not use his athleticism to pick up some of those extra yards?
I don't know. I think one of the question marks, his like escapability is second to none. I guess that's a good word. Like prime, yeah, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's slippery.
That's the Mahomes-esque about him, I think. It's not like, oh, he's Patrick Mahomes' arm and IQ and everything. It's the escapability is like people are seeing Mahomes make magic working out of the pocket. And maybe to the extent they're not as worried about taking a lineman at number nine, where they're like, okay, we got this kid who can make a pocket anywhere, and we'll hopefully scheme up ways to get him out of the pocket that, you know, maybe they go a Doomsday at number nine. But I'm not here to like – I'm just from what I've heard and what I've read, like I don't know. I don't love everything that like I've heard him say. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he like composes himself the best when he speaks in the media. I love confident players. I just, maybe this is like a bad analogy, but like when my guy Joel Embiid came in the league right away, like hated his attitude, like was just kind of like, I don't know. He was a little cocky and didn't realize how much he had left to learn. And Embiid has really humbled himself over the years, like for sure. Really, you know, grew up and became a leader. I don't know. There just might be some growing up. I think Caleb Williams might figure out sooner than later that he might have to do at this level. But I think he's an awesome talent. You know, that being said, it's not like he ever got in trouble or anything. And like, he's fine. I just not sure. We'll see if he matures, you know, enough in the first, you know, 6 months to a year to see where he can take this Bears team. But also, like, it's not my question mark's not even about him. It's like, kind of wish the Bears had a little bit different of a coaching staff around them. Like, kind of thought maybe that would happen. A little worried about that.
Well, I think for me, it feels like here's the thing. I think they're trying to create stability the best way they can. And you go and get rid of a coach and bring in a new, and then it's like, now you're hitting the reset button all over again, the whole organization. And it's hard enough to get rid of a quarterback. So I think from my small vantage point, it feels like they're trying to create some stability. And if that's the case, I'm okay with that if they achieve the success they're looking for.
I'm with you. And, like, I wasn't trying to crap on Caleb Williams, but I don't know. You just hear some interviews and you're like, I don't know. We'll see. But I think he'll work out in Chicago. That's my best guess. But he'll certainly have every opportunity to do so. And, you know, as much steam as these first four quarterbacks, there's so much steam picking up that, you know, four quarterbacks are going to go in the first six picks. And I think there's some warrant behind those theories because there are some teams with some ammunition. And we talked about Washington, whether you not go Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I'm kind of leaning May. Could very well be Daniels. I don't know. New England's there at three. Right? The Mac Jones thing didn't work out. I guess like 6 months ago, Marvin Harrison, he could have slotted in there, but I'd be shocked if they didn't go after a quarterback. They have a prime opportunity to finally snatch one that you might not have next year. And just pick number four. Like, what are the Cardinals going to do? And we talked about the NFC North. And we didn't mention the Vikings. We mentioned Kirk Cousins, but obviously they need to figure something out quickly, and they have two first round picks. And if Arizona's moving on with Kyler, I would not be shocked to see Minnesota trade up and take whoever's left at number four on the board there out of those group of quarterbacks.
Yeah. So, in my opinion, Arizona's going to ride this thing out with Kyler Murray. Like, I think they're going to ride it out, because if they take a quarterback, that signals you're getting rid of Kyler. And they've already lost. Like, think about the wide receivers that have just left. Like, Marquise Brown is gone. Rondale Moore is gone. Sounds to me like they're getting ready to bring in Marvin Harrison Jr. That's what it sounds like to me. Because we know Chicago, Washington, New England, all three of them are bringing in quarterbacks. At five, the Chargers, they're not bringing in a quarterback. Chargers are probably going wide receiver. So if the Cardinals don't take Marvin Harrison Jr., he's going – I mean, if the Cardinals don't take Marvin Harrison, he's for sure going to the Cardinals. He's ranked as the number one prospect in the draft anyway. But these other teams need quarterbacks. So between Arizona and the Chargers, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to one of those teams. And, I mean, that's just the bottom line. They're going to get a really good receiver, obviously. And that's another thing too, Luch. Like, either way, I think the Chargers are going receiver, whether they go Harrison or Neighbors, because you got to think they Mike Williams is gone, Keenan Allen is gone. One of these guys is going to the Chargers. Like, it's Harrison or it's Neighbors, one of the two. So it's just, and you talked about like the Chargers in the rebuild. You're going to get one of those receivers. You're right back ready to go on the outside. Now, they'll still need more help. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I think that's how this is going to go. If I had to guess right now, based on the roster and the moves, I would say, obviously, Caleb Williams goes to the Bears. I would assume Daniels goes to Washington. Let me tell you why. Washington has to get a splash play going. They can't keep taking Sam Howell. And I'm not saying Drake May isn't good. Don't get me wrong. But Drake May isn't a splash play to me. I think Daniels has way more upside than any other quarterback in this draft. It's kind of like Anthony Richardson last year when the Colts took him. If Anthony Richardson doesn't get hurt, I think we see the upside and why they took him. We saw what he was able to do with those couple games he had. You literally saw the upside every week. I think that's what's going on with Daniels. I think Washington's got to take him. I like Drake May. He's super solid. I don't think he's got the same upside as Daniels, though. Daniels has the ups. That's the upside quarterback of this draft. And so I think they're not going to repeat the safe play here. I think they're going for Daniels. And if that's the case, that means Drake May goes to the Patriots.
I also wonder, let me backtrack and say, I know Arizona's phone is going to be ringing. And at five with the Chargers, like, I've saw some mock drafts with them taking Joe Alt, which I also understand because, okay.
Oh, yeah,
If you're building this thing from the ground up, like, let's protect Justin Herbert. And it's a very deep draft class. You rattled off about 20 wide receivers that were awesome in college. It's just going to be kind of personal preference. But I'm with you. I'm also thinking, like, no, we're getting Herbert his ceiling receiver, you know, whoever it is. And if Marvin Harrison is gone at four, then, you know, maybe they take Malik Neighbors at five, who's also, like, amazing. Like, some people have neighbors ahead of Harrison Jr. on their board, and to each their own. But, like, they're going to get a really quality, blue-chip, elite, you know, high-ceiling player, no matter who it is. But, like, if Arizona does take Marvin Harrison, which I think they're going to run that thing down to the last second unless there's a deal already done. Because I want to know what the New York Giants front office is really thinking. Because Minnesota's GM came out this week and said, oh, we're not trading up for a quarterback. Bullshit. First of all, that's smoke. And I feel like they're going to try. Like, the writing is on the wall. So I think the Giants, I don't know, like, Daniel Jones coming off serious injury. Is he the guy? There's tons of question marks there. Like, they also haven't had a receiver since, you know, dinosaurs roamed the earth, it feels like. So I also feel like, okay, like, they gave Daniel Jones the bag before he got hurt. Let's get him Malik Nabers. Let's get him finally a bona fide weapon that we have not been able to give him because we've been stingy and cheap and also just whiffing. So I my gut says that it's more likely that the Giants want to give Daniel Jones a weapon than maybe take, you know, one of the quarterbacks this year. But I think the Vikings with both of their first-round picks are going to could, and my lean right now, and I can't sit here and pretend to be Daniel Jeremiah or XYZ or our good friend Jason Boris, who was on the podcast with us last year, but I think the Cardinals will say, look, we'll take both your first-round picks. You come up here, get your quarterback. We'll go ahead and get a receiver and a lineman. We'll double down, and we'll be on our way, and everyone's happy.
Listen, I'm going right back to something you said with the Chargers. I'm going to make this quick. Because I mentioned all of these receivers in this draft, Luke. And while there's Marvin Harrison and Nabers, like, this draft is deep with receivers. Now, if it's something you mentioned, I think it's critical here. If they go with the traditional let's build our football team strategy under Harbaugh, they're for sure going to take a lineman. And if that's the case, that means they're fine. They want to shore up the line, and that means they're fine getting one of these other receivers on the back end that's still really good, like Troy Franklin, like Malachi Corley. Like, bro, I'm telling you, it's deep at the back of this wide, like Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett. Like, that's, to me, that's what they're saying. They're saying we're going for the way we build our football team, not the best player. Because the best player after the top three is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, he's the number one prospect on the board. So, you know, I don't think he gets past four or five, for what it's worth. But if he does end up past four or five, then he's going to the Giants or the Titans. But he won't get past that, I don't think. But in round two, because the Chargers were so bad, they're still drafting early enough where receivers are going to be available all day long. So I just wanted to mention that, like, if they go for the lineman, to me that tells me they're okay taking one of these receivers on the back end that they're going to get later.
I think the dark horse team to trade up for a quarterback that we haven't mentioned, and I haven't seen them mention too many places, is the Broncos. And I don't know what the deal would look like, though, because they don't have a second-round pick, which kind of hurts in this situation. But they have, like, 3 fifth-round picks or something like that. I don't know. But I think, like, talk about a team that, like, finally needs to get it right and make some kind of splash deal to reel that fan base back in and say, okay, we're
for real. I don't think they're going to have to reach, though. That's my problem. That's my thing. Like, to me in this draft, it's deep at quarterback, but the upside plays are Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. If you're not getting one of those two, I don't think Michael Penix Jr. is that far off of Drake May. I don't think Bo Nix is that far off of Michael Penix. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I think one of these quarterbacks will be there at 12 because the Bears would have already drafted a quarterback. The Vikings are probably going to draft a quarterback. The Titans aren't going to draft the quarterback. The Falcons aren't going to draft the quarterback. I don't think Arizona's drafting the quarterback. And the Chargers for sure aren't drafting the quarterback. So off the board, right off the rip, you've got, in no particular order, May, Daniels, Caleb Williams. Those three are gone. That leaves now Michael Penix. J.J. McCarthy picked up a bunch of steam. Bo Nick, like, that's what we're left with. I'm saying that, and what I think people are considering that upper group. And I don't think the Cardinals or the Chargers are going to do it. The Giants could, the Titans won't, the Falcons won't, the Jets won't. Now you're at Vikings, Broncos. Mm-hmm. One of those two will be there. I don't think they have to reach. I really don't. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they should be fine standing pat and not making another critical organizational mishap by mortgaging the farm to go get one of these prospects. Like, don't do this again.
That's kind of why I said it was like the dark horse team. Because I don't know what their preference is. If they're really high on, you know, May or Day for whatever reason, or Daniels, whatever, McCarthy, it's possible. But you're right. If they evaluated Bo Nix or Penix and are like, you know what, it's worth staying where we are, and we think we could work with this guy, and there's a ceiling, then yeah, I mean, I'm confident in them taking a quarterback regardless of who it is, and I'm with you. So I just think they're a dark horse, but I think the more likely outcome is kind of exactly what you said, like Bo Nix, Penix, we'll see. But just kind of looking at some of these picks in between here, or potential picks, you know, if four of the six quarterbacks really go, you know, right off the rip, and you're Tennessee, you know, I think you're, what do they say, happy as a pig in crap if you're picking between Malik Nabers and Joe Alt at number seven. And, you know, I think Joe Alt's the obvious fit here, and it'd make a lot of sense, because then you have like three real, you totally do a 180 with your offensive line with hypothetically Joe Alt, Peter Skoronski, first round pick from last year, and Lloyd Cushenberry, with Bill Callahan, the O-line whisperer from Cleveland. But if Malik Nabers is there, I mean, also, like, with how deep this draft is at line, I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee was like, you know what, we'll give Will Levis or the next quarterback Nabers. So when, like, Hopkins and Ridley is kind of 1 foot out the door, we still have, like, elite talent on the outside. So I think Tennessee's in a fantastic spot. Again, like, if someone knocked on their door and was like, you want to trade down a few spots and it made sense, I would kind of understand. But Atlanta, again, with the offseason they've had and all the additions on offense that they've had, they are just in prime spot to go ahead and snag Dallas Turner to address another elite position in the NFL. So now you have like another fantastic edge rusher, you know, with Dallas Turner, who has a really high ceiling. You have everything on offense pretty much taken care of to make Atlanta kind of even scarier in this first round. So anything like in the top half of this draft that you're looking at with these teams, or you know, anything catching your attention? I mean, would you agree that Minnesota would be the most likely team to trade up for one of those quarterbacks?
Maybe, but I don't think they're going to do it. Like, you got to think they still want to pay Justin Jefferson. I don't think they're going to do it.
You know, hoping like a Bo Nix.
The buzz is already circling that they're going to take JJ McCarthy, for what it's worth. That word on the street is the Vikings are going to take JJ. I think that's the mistake. I don't think JJ is better than Penix. I don't know if JJ is better than some of these the back end quarterbacks in the league. And you know, if you watch sports media, once again, I don't have anything against JJ. But, man, he didn't have to carry this team. He didn't have to throw the ball a bunch. Like, I don't know, Luta. I haven't seen him have to win football games on his own. Like, this was a smash-mouth football team. So, you're telling me J.J. McCarthy's going top 15 and he hasn't had to prove himself when a guy like Michael Penix has had to do it all to play in Indiana? Like, come on. Like, what are we doing? Bo Nix has played – tons of big games, has tons of experience, and you're telling me we're going to take J.J. McCarthy? I don't see that. Like, what are we doing?
I agree with you, like, 100% from just, like, a talent analysis. Like, just from what we've watched is barely commoners here, right? But it's not like we were on the field every game or at their workouts or anything like that. But, like, I think the pressure of winning in the NFL has gotten to an unfathomable level. It's not even like a what have you done for me lately league. It's a what have you done today type of league. And I just feel like four of those quarterbacks are going in the top six, even if I don't think it's the right move. Like, I feel like someone is going to do it because that talent, that scouting team values one of like a McCarthy so much higher than one of these quote unquote mid round first round quarterbacks that they're going to do it because the pressure's on to make some kind of splash deal and kind of take that franchise to the next level. But I'm with you because, like, I don't think the gap is as wide as kind of all the steam and the smoke and everything's making it out to be between a lot of these guys.
Listen, hear me out here. I'm not trying to insult the guy. This isn't about insult. This is about me watching college football and what I've seen. I don't think he's better than Sam Hartman. Like, what are we doing? Sam Hartman played, and look, he didn't have the best season at Notre Dame this season because they didn't really, you know, they didn't really get the wins that they played earlier. But my point is, I've seen Sam Hartman have to carry a football team. When he was in Wake Forest, Sam Hartman had to put up numbers every week for this team to win, back and forth. I mean, he went blow to blow with a guy by the name of Drake May when he was in the ACC. So I don't want to hear this J.J. McCarthy may have thrown the ball 10 times his whole college career. I'm exaggerating. But you get what I'm saying, Luke? What has he shown us on film that leads us to believe he's going to be the guy in the NFL? I don't think so. That's not anything against J.J. I think J.J. is a great person. I think he's a good teammate. Like, I've seen him. But I don't think he's a better quarterback than most of the guys that he's ahead of right now. Like, he's slightly ahead of Bo Nix. He's ahead of Spencer Rattler. Okay, if you want to say he's better than Spencer Rattler, fine. I would love to have seen J.J. McCarthy play at South Carolina and see what he could have done. You know, Jordan Travis, if he doesn't get hurt, he's on his way to a different deal. Joe Milton from Tennessee, he's played in multiple offenses. I talked about Sam Hartman. Austin Reed played at Western Kentucky. Like, listen, there are guys I've seen play football, and I would say all of these guys are better than J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. I don't get the hype. We're going to find out real soon because the draft is in a few days.
Yeah, I guess just a couple other things that are sticking out to me in the latter half of the first round, you know, as we kind of start to wrap up here, is just the depth, like you've said. I think Buffalo is going to land. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Brian Thomas, and I think he steps in and is immediately better than Gabe Davis. And I think Buffalo, there's like a bad stigma there with, oh, we got rid of Diggs, that offense is going to drop off. But well, they kind of discovered the run game with James Cook and company there. Dalton Kincaid is like going to be an animal and a matchup nightmare. And I know they have some holes defensively, but I guess if I'm trying to dart throw here, I think Brian Thomas is a bill. One of the process, and I could also see Pittsburgh trading down if someone wants to come up, just because like they can go receiver and like O-line maybe like a little bit later kind of thing and address some of those needs. But I think the guy that's grown on me the most is J.C. Latham, you know, who like on a normal year might be the best tackle in a normal draft class, like maybe like 7 out of 10 years. But man, like he is strong as hell and probably a better run blocker and athlete right now than pass blocker. But also like I could see a guy like him going to Cincinnati or Pittsburgh and stepping in and just like that seems like a Pittsburgh guy, J.C. Latham, if he falls. I don't know if he'll fall to where they are, but also like the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow's been under duress since he got drafted, honestly, and he's been able to like evade a lot of pressure himself. And they lost Jonah Williams, I think, to the Cardinals it was. So like they have a hole on offense, and I don't know, J.C. Latham is one of the guys who I was like, meh, you know, like understand it, but now I watch some, you know, I'm a YouTube highlight guy right now. It's all I got on me. I don't have like all 22 access or anything, but I watched some SEC games and, you know, saw what he was about. And I think Latham is kind of a monster. So just such a deep class at two really premier positions, Chief.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, once again, I'm looking forward to the draft. I think it's going to be a good one. And, you know, we got some young men whose dreams are about to come true. And that's the other part of the human side of it that maybe we don't think about. You know, these young men, some of them probably been playing football since, you know, they were 5, 6 years old, 7, 8 years old, peewee football, and have come through the ranks, have played middle school, have played high school, played on some of the biggest level in the college arena. And now they are they're on their way to the NFL. And so just early congratulations to those guys. And you know, a whole lot of excitement, I'm sure, is around these football teams that are going to land some of these players.
One more for you, and then I'm done, I promise. And I feel remiss if we didn't mention him, because we talked about all these wide receivers. This guy's a freaking unicorn, getting more hype than Kyle Pitts. Some have touted him as arguably the best like tight end prospect to come out of the draft in a long time. I don't want to say forever. Where's Brock Bowers going to find a home? I mean, I think he could go anywhere from, I don't want to say 7, but like 7, 8, 9, 10 to 20. And maybe he falls a little bit. And I think he's a player that someone will say, you know what, we're trading up. we're going to get our guy Brock Bowers. But what a talent he's going to bring to one of these offenses, and I would feel remiss if we didn't mention him.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to take a guess right now, I think he ends up possibly going to Tennessee, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just thinking through the draft. Bears take quarterback. Commanders take quarterback. Patriots take quarterback. Cardinals either trade back or they take a receiver. Chargers either take lineman or receiver. Giants are probably going to take a receiver. I don't think they're going to take him because they've got our guy there. What's his name? Came over from the Raiders. But either way, the Giants have a tight end they've already locked up. I just don't see them going to get Brock Bowers. And Atlanta, I don't think they'll do it. The Bears, I don't think they'll do it because they've already got, you know, their guy and they signed another guy. I think he goes to Tennessee if I had to guess that early in top in the top 10. I think he goes to Tennessee or he goes 10 to the Jets. But even at that, the Jets could absolutely take Romo Odunze. You see what I'm saying? It feels like a Tennessee pick to me.
Like if Odunze goes to the Jets and Bowers is on the board, there's going to be some phones ringing to some of these other teams to maybe trade back a few slots. Because like Denver has obvious needs. Vegas has obvious needs. The Saints just seem like they have a wealth of a tight end room. I mean, none of them are like studs, but Juwan Johnson's been pretty good. Taysom Hill's there. If he falls to the Colts, that could be pretty deadly. I don't think it's going to happen because I feel like someone would trade up to get him before it happens. But look out if you bring Brock Bowers to Indy.
Yeah, it's all about team need, too. That's another thing. I think this year's draft at the top end is full-blown team need. They're not taking the best player available. They're taking what they need. And I think in the top five, six spots, they're all need drafts. If Tennessee doesn't take him, I don't think Atlanta takes him. I don't think the Bears take him. The Jets would be my choice, but do they view him better than Rome in that offense? Like, you know what I'm saying? At that point, because I don't think the Vikings take him. I don't think the Broncos take him because they need quarterbacks. And the Raiders could. They could. You know, New Orleans, maybe. Indy, maybe. Like, Indy's probably getting close. Seattle could. It's just how these teams decide to draft, because the other problem we're going to run into, Luch, is we're talking about a lot of offense. Who's going to be willing to pass on all these edge rushers in the top 20? Like, it's weird to me how these teams are going to run this out, because if these edge rushers are passed up, you mean to tell me you're going to let the Pittsburgh Steelers pick up another edge rusher? What? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's also a little bit of like cat and mouse. Like,
yeah, definitely.
You know, like I'm looking at the draft. I'm looking at the prospects, Luke, and the Steelers could very well end up with another generational defensive talent here if all these teams decide to draft the way I think they're going to draft. I mean, what in the world?
So we're wrapping up here. What are you up to on Roto Grinders and Scores and Odds over the next couple months before we get back together?
Oh man, it's MLB. It's MLB, and it's more MLB. I'm, you know, doing some crunch time mostly on the weekends, doing some Grinders Live, writing for Owner's Box, doing that MLB article every week on Wednesdays, and doing a short video there. You know, hanging out in the prop shop, posting for Scores and Odds. I've actually been having a pretty good month for MLB. To kick off the season, much better than last season to kick off. Now, once again, when we start getting into May and June, and you start seeing me go 30-0 and those type of deals, and that's not exaggeration. 30-0 might be exaggeration, but I think at one point last year, Luch, I was somewhere around 21-1 or something like that. Like, baseball is, you know, I love baseball. So, but we're getting cranked up, and before you know it, the real Food for Thought podcast will be back yet again.
Yes, sir. Good to hear you again. Good to see you again. We're on YouTube sometimes. Of course, you can catch us on the air pretty much everywhere else for some audio. And yeah, check out Scores and Odds. Chief does a bang-up job over there. I mean, there are some days where we have like 70-plus picks over there on a per day. And our team is just absolutely crushing it. Love what we got going on at Scores and Odds. Check it out, scoresandodds.com. Check out the mobile app. Download the app. You want up-to-date lines and odds? It's so convenient, easy to use. The thing I like the most about the SAO app, Chief, is you can look at a game or a line, and it shows you every major sports book on one little screen with the lines and the odds on the same thing that you're looking at. So you can shop in one place instead of like, all right, well, I like, Framber Valdez over 5.5 Ks. So let me open up FanDuel. Oh, he's minus 112 there. Well, let me check Caesars. Oh, he's minus 120 there. Let me check the 8 sports book I'm looking at. And before you know it, you waste 10 minutes trying to find the best price. So it's really cool and really easy to use what we have at Scores and Odds. But other than that, let's get out of here. We can't thank you guys enough for sticking with us. For those of you that know what we're about, you know what our shenanigans are, and we hope you had a great time. And for those of you that are new and just tuning in and you're probably like, what the hell is this on Roto Grinders Network? We're just kicking it, man. Little barbershop talk before the NFL draft. It's going to be a good one. And as much as I miss the old days where it was all together on the weekend, not a huge fan of like the Thursday night and then the Friday night kind of thing. I liked when it was like a marquee weekend event. It's going to be a hell of a draft. So for my buddy here, my good friend Will Priester, I'm the Looch, Justin Carlucci. Enjoy the rest of your spring, everybody, and we'll catch you later this summer on Food for Thought.